Medical challenges associated with stroke have been in the news again lately. Of course, hockey great Gordie Howe has suffered several strokes, and I know a lot of folks thinking about him over the past few months. A new MSU study is aiming to improve the recovery process of stroke victims. Matthew Reeves of the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at MSU will be working with some colleagues in the School of Social Work to see what happens when recovering stroke victims have the help of a social worker when they come home from the hospital. And I asked Dr. Reeves to give us an overview of the study.
Our Stroke PCORI grant, and PCORI stands for Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. And so this is a new federal initiative funding to look at any health condition, but really centered around the patient's experience. And so we've written a grant really focused on stroke patients and caregivers' experience, particularly when they go home, this transition from hospital back integrating into the community and adapting to that new world, that new life at home post-stroke. And so we are going to be spending a year pretty much talking to patients and caregivers and health professionals to understand the challenges associated with that transition period from when you go home with a stroke and how you integrate back into society and back into the home. And then from that, we will be developing an intervention study where we hope to improve that experience for stroke patients after they return home. And so that's sort of the second and third year parts of the grant.
When we were talking before the interview, you mentioned that you felt that in terms of a condition or a disease, that stroke really doesn't get very much attention. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't really seen anybody talk about that formally, but I do think that's right. I think many of us in the stroke community feel like stroke doesn't get as much airplay in terms of its importance from a public health or societal perspective. I think there's a certain stigma with stroke. People don't like to talk about stroke. Obviously, people don't want to have a stroke. We all have that vision of a bedridden patient who can't look after themselves. You know, that does occur, but that's the small minority of stroke patients. And so there's definitely a stigma about stroke. People don't want to talk about stroke. Some people don't even want to admit that they had a stroke. So that's part of it. Also, I think there's a sense, well, strokes just happen to, old people, and, people are going to get strokes. So, and I think there's a lack of awareness of the preventability of stroke. The fact that this is something we could do something about, we can drive stroke rates down. And in fact, we've been doing a very successful job of that in the last 20, 25 years. Stroke rates have really come down dramatically. And also now there's this awareness of there is actually an acute treatment that we can give to stroke patients. 20 years ago, we didn't really have any treatments that we could really do for stroke patients. So that's a lot different now. So awareness is improving, but it's definitely, there's a lot of catch up to be had. And I think, it's a scary disease, and just people would rather not talk about that.
I suppose too, or I have to wonder, I guess, if part of it isn't that stroke outcomes, post-stroke consequences, I guess, are all going to be pretty different in people. I mean, there are some similarities, but it's not a straightforward like thing like I had a tumor and now I don't have a tumor.
That's an excellent point, really good point, because what we see in stroke is a huge variation. Heterogeneity would be the fancy term to call that. I mean, there's just so much variation in the types of strokes people have and their severity. You can have a stroke and it'd be really almost very mild, with minimal deficits, all the way to a devastating stroke. And so we know there's that huge continuum. There's a huge continuum about the type of patients who get stroke. Stroke rarely, but can affect young people, even as children, but in the 20s and 30s. But then all the way through, the 90s and 100s, the stroke rates just go up and up with age. And then the other thing that adds to the variability is, what was going on in you before you had your stroke? What disability level had you had at that time? So were you an active 45-year-old with a busy career, or were you, 85 or 90-year-old who had, multiple comorbidities and was pretty infirm before the stroke? So stroke is just layered on to that infinitely complicated, multidimensional facts that sort of lead to a certain level of disability, and then the stroke comes on top of that. And so then you've got to handle all of those things. So it's not just about handling the stroke event itself, but what the patient brought to the table before the stroke occurred.
In a lot of ways, what you're saying reminds me of diabetes.
Yeah, I mean, diabetes, right, affects a lot of people in many different ways, a lot of different complications. It's a good point in terms of diabetes affects all age groups, you know, and there's two fundamental different types of diabetes. And like there is stroke, we have hemorrhagic stroke, bleeding in the brain versus ischemic stroke where there's a blockage of the brain. So, yeah, I think the analogy is a good one.
One of the things you look at is lack of communication between the healthcare providers, the caregivers, the stroke patient, recombine in any given combination. Is that part of a larger problem, do you think, within the medical community of communication?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a big issue with transitions of care in this country, and we're finally sort of waking up to say, you know, we do a fantastic job for the most part when patients go to the hospital, but they don't. Most patients don't spend that long in the hospital anymore. I mean, the average length of stay nationally is about 5 days. For a stroke patient, it's 4.5 days. I mean, it's a very short time window. And so, you know, the real recovery, the real challenge in when you have an acute condition like stroke is that recovery period after you leave the hospital. And you think about walking out or being wheeled out of the front doors of a hospital. That's a huge horizon in front of you about where you can go with infinite complexities. And so, yeah, stroke is a good example of the challenges of coordinating care in that post-discharge period. And this is a problem, I think, as we all the listeners would recognize, for all types of care, not just for stroke. But, you know, the communication required to sustain a high level of care with all the complexities of treatments and changing in transitions and locations and different providers, picking up the baton, knowing full understanding where the patient is and what trajectory they're on, you can, well, it is, it's just an incredibly complicated challenge. But, you know, there hasn't been enough focus on really getting the systems in place to really make that those transitions a lot more effective. And it really all comes down to communication, getting the right information to the right person at the right time and making sure there's that continuity of care.
That's got to be a little bit complicated by the fact that sometimes stroke patients have trouble communicating.
Well, that's exactly right. So, you know, aphasia or the difficulty in speaking and communicating is a relatively common feature in stroke patients, probably affects, you know, 15 to 20% of patients with moderate to severe stroke. So that is definitely part of the challenge. They also, not only the communication, but there's post-stroke patients can have, you know, cognitive deficits where they're not aware of the dangers in the environment. So we hear a lot of stories about patients going home and not being aware of, you know, the challenges or the dangers around homes, where it's stairs or showers or sharp knives in the kitchen or lawnmowers out in the garage, you know, wherever that is, you know, there's a lack of awareness of the risks and dangers. So yeah, there's a lot of challenges with the stroke patient being aware, and that's where the caregiver comes in as to being really important. For some people requires, you know, almost, you know, constant care once they get home.
One of the things that I've not understood as a layperson is you do a study like this, you collect information, it's valuable information. How does that get translated into someone using that information? How do you, I mean, you can't just stick your hand up in the air and say, hey, we've got this great study here, come use this information.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And this is another one of the challenges that the medical profession and public health is dealing with all the time. And that's with this issue of translation. How do we get research out in the field being used? And, I mean, there's been good studies showing that, you know, it can take 10, 15 years before established treatments get widely implemented. And so this is definitely a big challenge. Fortunately, the PCORI grant mechanism that we're working through actually recognized this and in any application for the PCORI, there's a section in the grant where you have to talk about your dissemination and implementation plans. How will you get this information out to the scientific community? How will you disseminate this information to the providers around the state and the country, and to make sure that this, if this isn't a successful project, that it will be uptaken by hospitals or communities? And so this is a big part of what we're trying to do. We're trying to find an intervention that will help patients. But once it does, we've got to think about, well, who would actually pay for that? And how would this be implemented into the system? And, you know, if you were just doing a hospital-based project, that would be fairly easy because we have hospitals and we have people who work in the hospitals. We can talk to those people. But again, one of the challenges with transitions, there's an infinite number of people and venues involved. And so that does make the translation of this into a program that's successful is going to be a challenge. And, you know, this is where some of the restructuring of the healthcare system is coming into play. We're now starting to view medical care not only as just an event, but an episode of care. So it's my belief and that in 10 years' time, hospitals and providers will be paid for an episode of care that will occur over a 30-day period. So you don't just get paid for your four-day hospital stay anymore. You're responsible for that patient and that patient's outcome all the way through to some benchmark period, which right now is going to be 30 days. This changes the dynamics fundamentally and for the better, because now the hospitals and the people providing acute care have a vested interest in making sure that transition is as coordinated and successful as possible.
If there's one thing you would like listeners to take away from this interview, what would that be?
Yeah, it's a great question. I always like to finish off any interview about stroke with a review of the signs and symptoms of stroke. And so that's the FAST criteria. So FAST stands for face, arm, speech, time. Okay, so face, onset of stroke symptoms, you often see asymmetry or facial droop. So when you're looking at a patient who you think might be having a stroke, is there some sagging on one side of the face called facial droop? So that's the face. The arm test is putting two arms out straight in front of the patient. Can they keep them straight, or does one arm tend to drift down? A sign of weakness on one side of the body, a cardinal feature of stroke. So that's the arms. Speech is, are they able to talk to you? Can they recite a sentence? You know, the daffodils are beautiful today, or is that a jumbled? So that's a speech impairment. And time means as soon as you see any one of those three, we should not hesitate to call 911 and get the patient evaluated by health professionals as quickly as possible.
That was Matthew Reeves of the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at MSU.